What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. This is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt, Red Bert, and Medlock 1 on the Twitters. We're coming to you Friday early afternoon. Cardinals have, since we last spoke, taken 2 out of 3 from the Brewers and then gone out to Los Angeles and swept the Dodgers, and now are sitting ready to take on the Colorado Rockies this evening at, you know, a little bit earlier than those games out in Los Angeles. Not a whole lot, maybe half an hour or so, but anyway, it'll make us feel a little bit better, hopefully, and it's over the weekend. Alan, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and I don't want us to forget about that Brewers series, because that was big. I mean, the Cardinals went in to a Brewers team that was ahead of them and took 2 out of 3 and briefly took the wild card spot before they reclaimed it again while they're out in L.A. But, you know, we talked a lot last week about how hard it is at any time, really, but especially here when the pennant race is going on, to take a West Coast trip. And then you add on to that the fact that the Dodgers were right there in the mix, and then, of course, the Rockies as well, you know, are right there as well. To see them go out, and they didn't, you know, they didn't dominate the Dodgers, but they won all three games. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And they look, in winning all three games, they looked like the more confident team, in which I thought said a lot. It was a big statement series for me. That's what I was really concerned about this. I knew that we talked last week about it. Of this was kind of looming for in my eyes, to go out there and you could easily lose. You could play well and lose both series, and it's one of those you just probably weren't at a time to where you could afford to do that with everybody so stacked right together. We know there's baseball left, and not everything is must win every night. But it's almost getting to that point to where you can't have more than a 2 or 3 game swing at any point, because you may not catch those back up, because now you're running out of those head-to-head matchups with teams. But no, I was impressed. I thought it spoke volumes of the Monday night game. You know, with the whenever they tied it up, I was like, well, I'm maybe having to go to bed here before too long, because, you know, it's late, 3-3, you just don't see anything. But then Jericho hits the bomb, and then Carpenter keeps that magical season up and hits that one, and they challenge a little bit, but Norris just shuts the door down. You feel pretty good about it, but you wondered if you didn't steal one. Well, then, you know, come Tuesday, you go about and you do the same thing. Wednesday, you're thinking, okay, well, this is, you know, you may have a throwaway a little bit on this one. And, you know, it's tough to sweep a team, and you just sweep them and look like the better team. It gives you a little bit of leeway, just like you and I were talking about last week, to where 3 wins out west, it still seems like it's a success. We were talking a little bit before the show to where two losses now in Colorado may hurt you a little bit, because you don't play them anymore and you may lose a little bit of ground. But man, it's gotten to the point now to where they're playing so well to win. You win 4 games and you're 4 out of 6 and you're a little bit disappointed. You know, that's eons from where we were 6 weeks ago. And that says a lot. They're just a lot of fun to watch. And, I thought Danny Mac was really cool on Bernie this week. I didn't know if you guys heard it, but he said that he had talked to a scout friend of his who he said, hey, what is the national opinion of the Cardinals right now? He said, well, me personally, I tore up my scouting reports because this is a completely different team. So I think everybody's kind of seeing it. I think that they're kind of growing here right in front of our eyes, and it's been quite a bit of fun.
Yeah. Bernie made reference to that story on the Singer Ed podcast as well. And it's true. I mean, you look at this team and, you know, the fact that we are here on August 24th, the Cardinals have lost 4 games. this month. And all four of those games have been by one run. I mean, and we, you know, you call look back at those games. I mean, especially, you know, the first game, one of the first ones they lost was, you know, up there against Miami where, you know, Yadier Molina had the, you know, was up with the bases loaded and one out, you know, a base hit probably wins that game. You look at, there's a game against Pittsburgh. I mean, obviously these one run games and, what was it? Even the one against the Brewers this week, the Cardinals came up and had, you know, Patrick Wisdom hits the home run to make it 2-1, and Matt Carpenter follows with a shot that just died at the wall, and then in the ninth, Jerko hits one that gets out to about the wall as well. I mean, a little bit more breeze, a little bit more wind, and, you know, they at least tie that game up, and who knows after that, especially with Milwaukee's team. It's just, You go into a game every night expecting them to win, and that's, you know, knowing that they can't seem to, you don't think they can win them all. They've done a pretty good job of doing that this month, but it's just such a difference. And I don't know, I mean, even from the beginning of this year, but it's been a while since you just felt like the Cardinals were going to win every game. Now, there's been times over the last few years where the Cardinals were the better team, and you kind of expected that they would have a shot in every game, but I don't know that, I mean, I just don't know that the confidence level on this team has ever been to what it's been the last few months. Now, again, you kind of worry a little bit. I mean, if you want to be cautious, you know, there's still 6 weeks of baseball left, and, you know, what, you know, just because they played well the last 6 weeks doesn't mean they're going to be able to keep this up for the next six. And, you know, this race is so tight now that, you know, if they don't play, what are they playing, 780 ball, I think, this month, or since the bullpen turnover, you know, if they play 700 ball, even down the stretch, that might not be enough. I mean, which is kind of crazy to say, but as tight as everything is, all that said, I mean, this is a remarkable run, and it's remarkable the change that has come along in mindset for the fans as well to watch this team. Now, it is a very tight race. The Cardinals are three games, because everybody won yesterday when the Cardinals weren't playing, which was very annoying. It's hard enough to, you know, you really like to win all those games they lose, but you really hate to see people win when you're not even playing and have a chance to match the pace. But Cardinals sit three games behind the Cubs. They're a game or a half a game up on what, the Phillies and the Rockies, I think, for that last, or the Brewers and the Rockies for that last wild card spot. Are on the first wild card spot. Let me say this right. Cardinals are up half a game on the Rockies and the last for the first wild card spot. I still can't say it right. And then the Phillies and the Dodgers are kind of hanging out there right now, would not be making the playoffs. But, I don't know. I know we continue to look at this division, but I mean, looking at the wild card somewhat, but this division got a lot tighter on us all of a sudden. And I got to feel like the Cubs are a little bit concerned about this on rushing Cardinals team.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And you wonder how much, pressure they're feeling a little bit. I think Hamels yesterday really, I think that was huge for them because they're pitching. Actually, they have not been very good, you know, recently altogether in Chicago. So you just wonder how, it's funny. I said last year when we talked about our predictions, I made the comment of, I still see a situation to where the tables from 15 are turned to where the Cardinals are the young and hungry, and the Cubs are the stable leaders in the division. I think this may be the year where something like that happens, where they're just playing their better, where the Cardinals are playing the better baseball at the right time. That's the thing. I think you have to keep your eye on the division right now and let everything else fall into place. And that's, of course, what they're doing. And they're scoreboard watching more than they'll ever admit. But it is, it's crazy. It's crazy right now to think where they are and to think that, you know, they still have head-to-head games to keep it close to where the last week in the season just could be nuts. I mean, you see that, you know, Russell goes on the DL for them and they go and get Murphy and, they're making moves to improve in what has been a terrible offense for the past month or so. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's, you're close. I mean, you're a bad Cubs streak or a lose two out of three in a series to being right in the middle of this thing if you're not already.
Well, and I mean, you know, it's really kind of amazing to think that if the Cardinals and Cubs just match each other for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
You go into Wrigley with a chance to sweep and win the division. Now that could throw some havoc because you're really probably going to go for that, and that might mess up plans for that wild card game or whatever, but that's, you know, you get to that, you don't worry, you got to go for that jugular, but that's just if they match. And you're right, the Cubs haven't played very well for the most part. Their pitching staff is very shaky. It may be a good thing for them. Tyler Chatwood went on the disabled list, you know, but they don't have the depth, and these guys are getting older. You know, they lost you. Not that they've had you, Darvish, this year, but you know, he's out for the whole year. They can't even, you know, hold out hope that he's going to return. And you're right, the offense has been very spotty. I mean, until yesterday, what, their last four or five games, all they had ever scored were on solo home runs, and I mean, like one a game or something like that. It's been remarkable to see, you know, they got the big lead early, and maybe they'll hold it on to it, but I don't think, even though, if I'm right, they still have the best record in the National League, yeah, they don't inspire a lot of confidence, I don't think, watching them. I mean, you know,
sure.
I'm sure Cub fans are somewhat more enamored with their team than, but looking from the outside in, I'm not saying that they can't go to the World Series. I'm not saying that there is a dominant team in the National League. I'm just saying, I guess maybe that's what I am saying, is that it feels like anybody, Atlanta, the Cubs, Arizona, Cardinals, Rockies, Milwaukee, probably even Philly if they got in there, and the Dodgers if they snuck in. It feels like any of those teams could go on that run and win, go to the World Series. I mean, now, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to hold on to the, you know, matchup with the Red Sox, and that's a different story, but just getting there, all these National League teams feel kind of the same.
Oh yeah, it's worlds difference from the American League. I mean, you have a team that's 30 games plus over 500 that's fighting for the wild card. You know what I mean? And then you have Oakland, who's basically on a Cardinals type streak right now, who has built a little bit of room in the wild card to, but it's crazy. I mean, that's almost basically all decided over there, to where you could just throw your name in that, or you throw names in a hat right now and pick each of them up. You know, Philadelphia's hit that wall that we've talked about. I figured that it was going to be either or. Atlanta and or Philadelphia, and possibly both, to ultimately hit a wall and not play well. It seems like that's Philadelphia, but they're still yet only a game out of a wild card spot. So I think there's a lot of teams who are, you know, similarly talented. I mean, it's amazing that you take those three out of four in Washington, and Washington doesn't look good, and it's. You take those three or four, probably you feel bad that you didn't sweep them. They ultimately may have the best roster in the National League. You know what I mean? It's funny how the National League has played out. It really is. I mean, they're kind of the same thing with the Dodgers. You know, their bullpen's been bad, which could be the thing that finishes them off. You know, I don't know. They're you know, less than four games out, but you never know with the Dodgers. But yeah, you never know. I mean, you're right at the door knocking. You're two games away from having the best record in the National League. Mm-hmm. And you know, ultimately we thought the Cardinals may be a fourth place team 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, they were a fourth-place team for a while there. I mean, even at the trading deadline, you know, you and I, a lot of people were talking about, again, not that we wanted them to give away Jose Martinez or Bud Norris, but it felt like they could get something, if they could get something for them, that it made sense because this team, you know, because, again, that was just what? The trading deadline was, what, 3 or 4 days after this whole bullpen makeover, not completely even that, because the, you know, the Yankees trade was after that and stuff like that. So we really didn't have a feel for this, and even though they had won a few games, you know, it just, how are we supposed to know this was going to happen? I feel like defending myself maybe a little bit, but the Cardinals had a plan that they said when they made the managerial change, we think we can get back into this. They kind of got to the impression that, you know, there were a couple of moves that they could make, and this team would just click. I don't think they expected a 17-4 August or anything like that. I don't know they even expected them to get, you know, in the division hunt. I think they probably thought they could be in the wild card race. But they definitely didn't expect it this quickly. And it's just been remarkable. And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing they don't listen to us and trade all the pieces, because we would never know what could have been. But, yeah, it's been pretty remarkable. And, again, you know, there's so many different things here. I mean, you know, the managerial change, the bullpen, you know, gets redone. And, you know, I don't want to put a lot of focus on it, but, you know, Dexter Fowler getting hurt did free it up for Jose Martinez to play all the time. You know, I don't know what the team would have looked like if Dexter stayed healthy. I don't know how long they would have committed to him. I don't know, you know, but having Martinez in this lineup, who has hit pretty well over the stretch, and being able to put him in the outfield, is probably not the thing that people really, I mean, some people do, but really, you know, that's third on the list of things that are involved in this run. But it's still an important thing that, you know, sometimes just gets a little bit overlooked.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very interesting time. Just all around. I don't know. It's crazy. I was looking at standings, and I was looking at the schedules moving forward, and that's, I can't really elaborate much. It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it is something to look at. And the Cubs will be playing the Reds today and this weekend. They played them last night. They will also be facing Matt Harvey. Looks like the Brewers did put a claim in on Harvey, and didn't make that deal. Given the way that, you know, I've seen some numbers, it looks like Harvey hasn't pitched very well in the last month or so anyway.
Yeah.
It may not have been much of an advantage for the Brewers to add him.
I wondered about that, and I was like, they, you know, we know that they're pretty desperate for arms right now, but I followed up where he may have had like a good 2-3 start run, but didn't do much from that. So that they've got to add arms, they're in trouble. And then I saw where they optioned Knebel and Davies yesterday, I think it was.
Oh, really?
And I think that, yeah. So, but there's talk of them trying to bring in someone at this point. So this is, you know, I know you have the 48 hours, I believe, after a claim, so that may have something to do with it. But it cost them Knebel for 10 days. So it's interesting. I don't know. I was actually reading that very thing while you were talking. And they're probably going to just dip their toe in any kind of pitching name right now just to see what they can do.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, everybody, when you talk about the Brewers, that's the thing. Why didn't they make a deal for an arm at the deadline? Why did they bring in more bats and more infield bats and not get that? And so far, I mean, they've held their own to some degree over this last month. I mean, granted, they had a better position a month ago, but right now, again, going into today, they're tied with the Rockies for that second wild card. If the Cardinals go in tonight, they'll be, you know, they could easily be there as well. Brewers will be playing Pittsburgh this weekend. Philadelphia's got Toronto. The Dodgers have the Padres, which, you know, yeah, I don't know how much scoreboard watching do you do at this time of year? I mean, we're watching some, but I can't go, you know, like the Dodgers are 3.5 behind, 4.5 games behind the Cardinals right now. The Phillies are a game and a half behind the Cardinals. How much are you paying attention to those teams?
I don't. I usually, it depends on what I'll do a lot of times in the evening. Like, yeah, I didn't watch much baseball last night just because the matchups weren't that great. You know, I knew that the Cubs and Reds were on, but I didn't dig around to find it. A lot of times, like when you and I will record at night, or if we record this afternoon, I would probably watch the Cincinnati-Chicago game on the computer. You know, one of those things, and I'll check a lot of those scores or whatnot. But I usually check the immediate chasers or who you have next. I don't expand it that much, other than just to watch baseball in the evening. You know, it usually falls into the West Coast, you know, trap a little bit. But I usually follow a lot of the scores, but I'll watch a lot of the games that are in close proximity.
Yeah, I'm watching the Cubs, watching the Cubs score.
Sure.
And watch the Rockies score and watch the Brewers score. And that's really kind of about it right now. And hopefully it doesn't expand. if it gets down to, another week or two and some of these teams are still in it, then maybe you're looking at them. But, right now, it's not the end of the world, but the way the Cardinals have been going, if the Nationals don't give up that walk-off grand slam, they're within two games. If the Rockies don't win on a home run yesterday, they've got an extra half game on there. Just some remarkable stuff that could be there and is not. But, it is a little bit of fun to watch. It's interesting that we're actually paying attention to those scores because, again, we didn't think that was going to be happening a little while back.
Absolutely.
We talked about waiver moves for other teams, but the Cardinals made one of their own this week and brought in a familiar face, a guy that had just been in St. Louis, actually. Brought in Matt Adams to return to St. Louis. Now, so far, we haven't seen much of him. I know he came out to pinch hit one night, but I don't think he's actually gotten in that bat yet as a Cardinal. There's a lot of talk about how this works. There's ideas of letting him play first and Carpenter sliding over to third. There's talk of him playing the outfield in left now that Ozuna is on the disabled list. A lot of what Matt Adams is going to do is going to be coming off the bench, but there's got to be some times where he starts. One, what did you think about them going that route? And two, how do you think we'll see him the most?
I figured they would get a left-handed bat of some sort. I figured it'd be a veteran type, but I thought it may be an outfielder for that very reason. But one, I was glad that they actually did that just to have some left-handed pop. And I was glad to see that it was Adams, because I'm a big Matt Adams guy. So I was glad to see him. And his availability is going to be more than just that bat off the bench, which he's always done a good job of doing. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll play quite a bit of first. I say quite a bit. I think that he'll play first. I think that they're going to limit, although Jericho's hit everybody right now, it's still the narrative is that he's better against left-handers than he is right-handers. I still think Jericho almost needs to play every day. But if they're going to do those things, letting Carpenter play third, where he has been a better third baseman than a lot of people realize, and let Adams play first, who is a good first baseman, and adds a little bit of left-handed pop to the lineup, adds a little bit of flexibility as well. I don't know. I liked the move. You put somebody like that in a pennant race. I know that he's been bad here in the second half of the season. Sometimes you never know if that's the environment or not. Look at some of the guys that I know that I always try not to talk about it, but think about the change that we didn't think that personally that Bader was ever going to be able to hit, but his name wasn't Fowler, so you feel like he needed to be playing. He didn't hit much, but he sure is now. He's better than a league average hitter now. So you never know how much environment plays a role in some of those things, and it could just be toxic there in Washington. On the other hand, Adams had some of those stints here that weren't great, but it's worth a shot, and I think he can help your team.
As soon as the move was announced, of course, people started worrying, if you will, or getting worked up about the idea that Matt Adams may play the outfield. Now, we got to remember, and I think it's very important to remember, Matt Adams is...
Harvey will not be going to the Brewers, by the way.
Right. Yeah, okay. Although that was going to be... He's going to be pitching for the Reds today, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So. Sorry, I didn't... Yeah, I knew you said probably.
Yeah, no, it would look like it was a done thing, and unfortunately that means he'll pitch for the Reds, which means the Cubs will probably beat up on him. But maybe he'll go out and throw a no-hitter, who knows. But anyway, there are a lot of people talking about Matt Adams in the outfield, but it's important to realize that he played some outfield for the Braves. He played a little bit for the Nationals. He is not the complete novice that he was in St. Louis. They threw him in this, as we know, like a week out of spring training and then decided to let him play out there. He's got a little bit more experience. He's got a little bit more practice at it. I'm not saying that he's good at it necessarily, but we also have Jose Martinez out there. I mean, I don't know that he's that much worse than Jose Martinez is right now. And you also got to figure that, you know, it's a different manager, too. And I think a lot of people are taking some solace in that, in the fact that they're not going to run Matt Adams out there all the time, and they're going to make sure that they do – they're going to make sure it's a smart decision when they do. I do think we'll see some Matt Adams out, and we may see him out there tonight. As I shared with you and other than that, I also put on Twitter, Matt Adams' career numbers in Colorado, which is only, you know, 11 or so games, but are remarkable. He's hitting, you know, 424. He has four home runs. His OPS is over at, you know, 1200 or something. So he very well may get a chance to play tonight. But I just don't think it's worth rending garments if he gets some time in the outfield.
No, and I think it was Bernie that was talking about how he hasn't been nearly as bad as you naturally assume of what we saw last year. And then he brought up a good point of, you know, that idea wasn't even brought up until about midway through spring, wasn't tried until the end of spring, and next thing you know, he was in games there in April and May, mm-hmm. you know, in the outfield after never doing it. So that could have played a part, and he probably could have worked at it. You know, his body looks completely different. It's funny when you look at the Kershaw home run when he was a bigger guy. He's still a big guy, but he's really lean, and that has to affect his mobility a little bit. So, as Bernie pointed out, it may not be as bad as you think it was, but it's not something you want to see every day. But, you know, you and I were talking about that. I was like, I remember him having pretty good numbers in Coors. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if he's going to get a start somewhere. I don't know. As much as they focus defensively, though, I'm not certain that's a route they go. Mm-hmm. But especially now. Now, maybe when Ozuna gets back, I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I do expect him to start a game, if not two, you know, here in Coors. But it goes back to, I hate them benching Jericho like they do, because I mean Jericho just may have been your best bat during the LA series.
Yeah. Well, and you know, again, if the Cardinals sat Matt Carpenter on Tuesday, otherwise I would say they're going to sit Matt Carpenter one of these days, because Carpenter's not, I mean, he's in what, I think somebody said a 4-for-30, and three of those hits came in that first game against the Dodgers. The other one was a bunt single against the Brewers. I mean, he's not, and he struck out four times in the last game, and didn't look real good in any of those. So, I mean, he's got a day off yesterday. It wouldn't, you know, it's not surprising, but, you know, if he has a rough game or two, I mean, who knows? Maybe Matt Adams plays a little first base. And, you know, Matt Adams is a fine – I've always thought Matt Adams was a very good first base.
Yeah, completely agree with that.
Or at least, you know, he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. He's very nimble and for his size. And you're right, he's not quite as the same type of person he was. But so
– you know, the way that I look at that, too, toward the end where people made it sound like Carpenter was just terrible but had to get his bat in the lineup, I felt like he looked really bad playing first because Adams looks so good playing first. You know, and you still see a lot of learning curve with Carpenter at first base, and their infield is much better with Carpenter at first and Jericho at third. But that's factoring in Martinez. You know, Adams was a good glove. I agree with you on that. I thought he was a really good first baseman.
Yeah, he was. I always liked it. Oh, you're right. I always liked Matt Adams. It was good to have him back. And it was very interesting because you hear some talk about, and we really heard it after Matt Adams came out. We heard it from Carpenter. I think maybe it was Carpenter I heard it mainly from, but maybe some others referenced it, is that the chemistry in that clubhouse and the way things are going is working. And it's very dicey to add somebody to that. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about adding Josh Donaldson into this mix, you know, and even if he was available and healthy and, you know, producing, you know, how does that, you know, how does it go with Jericho not playing? How does it go with, you know, a person that they have to get used to? You know, Matt Adams is perfect because not only is he not necessarily expecting to play all the time, he's a guy that most everybody in that clubhouse already knows. They already like Matt Adams. They have this, I mean, you saw a lot of great comments from Carpenter and Wong and others that, you know, really were excited about having Matt Adams join them again. Matt Adams was excited because he got to finally get some salsa. But, you know, it was just, it doesn't change anything. It adds a piece that the Cardinals need without running the risk that it's going to mess with whatever delicate chemistry might be in that clubhouse.
I was really impressed with the reception that he got the day after the news came out. I was like, you know what? A, you don't see guys come back very often. And so, you know, what you're comparatively, I just don't know how to put it, yeah. But I was blown away by the way that they responded about him coming back.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow, that says a lot. I go, that the clubhouse must be a completely different state of affairs right now than it was, say, a month and a half ago.
Maybe, yeah. But anyway, it was really interesting to see that kind of, but you're right. I can't name the last time somebody returned, especially not in that kind of situation. You know, I mean, I think, well, we saw Edmonds come back in like spring training, but it was years after and it's at the end of his career. I mean, Matt hasn't been gone very long. I mean, a lot of these guys did play with him and they've stayed in touch with him and stuff like that. But, you know, guy, like I said, just came through St. Louis, been able to renew acquaintances, things like that. And, so it's good to see them excited about it. And it's good to see Matt Adams back. And it's probably only going to last for 6 weeks. I mean, Matt Adams is a free agent at the end of the year. Becomes very difficult to see how they can use him without causing some problems again. You know, I mean, I still feel like Matt Adams could play somewhere on a more regular basis than he would play in St. Louis with Carpenter and Jerko, assuming Jerko is still here, which is seems to be that he would be. I mean, unless they decided to come up with a trade that we keep talking about that never happens, but, I don't know how they could fit Matt Adams in. So it's probably just, a short-term reunion, but it's kind of cool, and hopefully they can put something together. We're going to shift over a little bit here to the pitching side of things because, let's just talk about Jack Flaherty. We saw Flaherty take a no-hitter into, the sixth inning on Wednesday night. Which unfortunately he had to because Walker Buehrle was pitching just about as well. We have seen Flaherty come into his own, I think. I mean, he's still got a little bit of that, a young pitcher that might come out and just, but he doesn't seem like he ever gets blown up. He just winds up throwing a whole lot of pitches early. You know, he might be done after four or five because he's a few, but you know, he'll go out and strike out 9, 10, 11 or more on a pretty regular basis. Has he, even though Miles Michaelis is probably having the better overall season, has he established himself as at least a current ace until Carlos Martinez returns to the rotation next year?
I think so. And I love, really like Miles, but I think that even Michaelis will say as much and kind of takes a back seat to Flaherty just because Flaherty can be so dominant. You know, he's got the swing and miss ability, and it's pretty impressive to see him grow. The step that he has taken this year, I kind of thought Weaver would take. I thought Weaver would be in that spot to where he would be one of the top two and pretty dominant this year, and we see that just hadn't happened. I think the lack of a development of a third pitch has hurt Weaver. He has a hard time finishing guys off. But back to Flaherty, you feel like you've got a pretty good chance every time he takes the ball. And that's something to where I don't even felt like we've had with Carlos in the last couple of years. And I really don't feel like we had that with Wainwright, you know, the last few years in his last healthy years. May even go back to Carpenter where you felt like you just had the advantage no matter who he pitched against. And it's kind of getting that way with Flaherty just because he's the swing and miss ability and he is just be dominant and he just gets out of trouble. It's been such a blessing, and we were looking at the numbers before we started the show just about how dominant from top to bottom this rotation's been, and it's rather impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we look at this, and August's ERA out of starters is 2.84. August's ERA out of relievers is 1.97, and I mean, I think especially when you get into that bullpen, you worry a little bit about regression, especially as Bernie Michaelis has written, they're not striking out just a whole lot of people, and, you know, ground ball luck is dangerous. But out of the rotation, I mean, I don't feel like anybody is just pitching out of their minds. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it all feels like it's kind of in line with what they're doing. I mean, I don't know about Ponce de Leon. I don't know about his long-term plan, but, you know, Ponce de Leon sitting down in the minors this week, he came back on Sunday. He may not be the fifth starter when things get going. I mean, that rotation is going to be kind of in flux, I think, a little bit down the stretch. And some people may start here, and then they may not start the next time around. It may end. But you look at the rest of the rotation, and I think that it looks like you're going to expect them to go out and give you five or six innings and give up two, you know, if they give up three runs, it feels like it's almost a lot. But, you know, if they go three, give you three and six, the way this offense goes, three and six is probably good enough to win.
Sure, sure. It's just such a change of pace, too. I've seen I don't know, there's probably a way that I can go back and do the research on it and figure this out, because I think you can see this kind of scenario from the rotation and the bullpen right now, to where first and third, less than with nobody out, and the second and third, less than nobody out, and or less than two outs. In the past, you felt like they were giving up runs, and sometimes those exact situations would blow up to big innings. And I always pointed to the Cubs about that, because the Cubs constantly kept the Cardinals at first and third situations, and the pitchers wouldn't get out of it. Now you see it all the time, to where they're first and third, nobody out, second and third, less than two outs, to where you basically will pat yourself on the back for only giving up one run, to now situations where they're getting out of those spots. And I didn't think you saw that 2 months ago, and I think that was just a it seems like I'm pointing everything toward the coaching changes, and I'm not. I'm just saying it's just the development and the growth of the team, to where now the confidence to get out of those spots is so much greater than it was. And I think a lot of it is the maturation process. A lot of these younger arms. I think you see it on the offensive side of the ball too, to where they score some runs, to where I thought, okay, now they're putting up these runs with two outs, which they had never done before. And I just think that's the growth of a team. And back to the pitching side, it's just amazing to me how they get out of those spots now, to where you're just like, oh, no, man, here we go. This is going to be a three spot, and they're not going to be the score that many runs, because at this point you're counting outs until you get to the back end of said bullpen for the opposing team, to where you just don't feel like you're going to score. I just don't know if I've said that to myself recently, and it's just such a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it really is. And we're seeing some good results out of people we didn't expect to see good results about. You know, a lot of people got worked up. Brett Cecil came back. Mm. Was it this week, I think? I can't remember if it's been since we recorded or right before. But and he's come back, and he's pitched remarkably well. I think, what, three or four outings, no runs. And it's very – I mean, there's an article up today, I think, in the Post-Dispatch, but it's a quote that I know I've heard before from Cecil this week. But and I'll just read it off. It says there's three things that make a reliever tick. It says the confidence he has in himself, the situation he pitches in, and the manager's confidence in him. At first, I didn't have any of those. Now I feel like I have all of them. And, you know, part of that's because Cecil, he's had a chance. Apparently, I think he went with a sports psychologist. He did some mental work as well as physical rehab over this last, you know, DL stint. But, you know, that does kind of point to the coaching staff as well. And there's a lot of confidence, and they've shown that confidence in him. They put him in some big spots that I didn't expect them to. I thought they'd kind of ease him into these things. And first time out, you know, the Cardinals are down one to bring him into a game. And it's very interesting to see him respond like this and just make that bullpen even better.
Yeah, it was he was probably the best arm in the LA series, you know, getting out of the big one on Monday night and having the big inning on Wednesday night. You know, between he and Ponce de Leon, I mean, well, I guess Ponce de Leon would have been in his start, but he was one of those guys that threw a bunch of pitches but got out of trouble. But Cecil was impressive, and he seems to that article today was really good, you know. And it's funny, one of those, like, you never want to judge the book by its cover, then you find out that he did have some, he wasn't just not reporting to camp, or that wasn't the situation, but there was obviously family issues with the Cardinals let him take care of, you know, and he started behind. And, you know, in a situation like his, after signing the big contract and haven't really fulfilled obligations or exceeded, you know, what they hope to see out of you, it's pretty big to go ahead and take that step back and then start late. You know, it's big on him. So you feel good for him after reading that, and then you kind of feel bad about some of the things he had said, to be honest with you. Yeah, so, yeah, he's been impressive, and it's one of those to where I think you're still going to hold your breath just to see. But if that curveball is working like he did in L.A., that he's going to be dominant.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not all this year for Cecil, obviously. I mean, he had struggles last year, although last year was just so sporadic. I mean, he would go 8, 9, 10 outings, do fine, and then all of a sudden he'd have 2 or 3 mm-hmm. innings that are really bad, and then he'd kind of go back and forth. But if he can get, I mean, Cecil's already, I think, is probably the warning case of don't give a reliever a long contract because you're kind of stuck with it. You know, I mean, no matter what Brett Cecil does, when I say that, if Brett Cecil has a really good year next year, yeah, you could flip him, but for the most part, you're stuck with Brett Cecil for the next 2 years, and hopefully he's good at it. I mean, if he is, that's great. And it's possible that that now the things that he's kind of had this idea, you know, this change of mindset, that he will be very good. You're right. I think you do hold your breath for a little bit. It was kind of – but and people do get better. And Cecil has had success in the big leagues. He just hasn't had a lot of it in St. Louis. So, and then I think that, you know, you hope that with Shields and his, you know, probably a little bit more openness to some analytics and some statistics, they can put him in the best position to succeed too. I don't know that he always had that as well. To put all that together, and he becomes, you know, that's what the Cardinals haven't had. I mean, for all the good for this bullpen has done, they have not had just that shutdown lefty specialist. You know, they've got guys that can go 2 or 3 innings. They've got a guy in Strieve that can do that somewhat, but you're still not sure about him as well. You had Tyler Webb, but, you know, but if you can get Brett Cecil to be the guy that can come in and get those big left-handed hitters that you need, especially if they get into the postseason, that's going to be so valuable.
Oh, man, that's – and, you know, that's – and you're right. I mean, you can just – you can go down the list of those chances he may get. You know, of course, Rizzo stands out. You know, Schwarber stands out. You go Freeman. Franco at Hernandez, who's a Philly center fielder? I'm drawing a blank. You know, I can't think of his name, but you know who I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So there's those chances, and those are guys that you're definitely going to need. So yeah, it's been impressive, and you'd like to see a good bounce back, and it just seems like any button they push in the bullpen right now seems to work.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because we're coming up to another bullpen change. We've had a little bit. We saw, and I think we talked about it last week, with Weaver going into the bullpen, and his first outing out of the pen turned out all right. Pitched pretty well against the Dodgers. Coming most like, I don't think that we'll see anything this week. I think that all the rehabs end after that, but you know, September 1st, a week from Saturday, a week from tomorrow, is roster expansion, and there are going to be some people coming up then or soon after. And those include people that are on the 60-day disabled list. Dominic Leon will be coming up. Adam Wainwright will be coming up. Both of those guys are on the 60-man. You'll also possibly see you could see Matt Bowman return. I don't know, and we'll get to that in a minute. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit. Probably you'll see John Brebbia get back. You'll see, Daniel Ponce de Leon will return. Michael Walker is supposed to return that day, you know, which may push Ponce de Leon to the bullpen. It wouldn't be surprising to see Tyler Webb make him, you know, come back up either at that time or soon after. Kyle mentioned last night in Prospects After Dark, he believes that Giovanni Gallegos that came over with Strieve in the Yankees deal might get a chance to come up, in September. He's on the 40 man also, but, you know, there's going to be, as you and I talked this week, it's going to be pretty crowded out there, and finding innings for some of these guys may be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's, I am curious to see how it all plays out with all these guys. It'll be a crowded house, and you know, a lot of names with with good track records that that may be on the outside looking in. So it's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be an interesting 2 weeks to see how it all fits in. And the scary part is when you hear the most of these things have a way of working themselves out. You know, that's one of those that you just don't want to hear now.
No, no, but you gotta, you know, that's the good thing is, you know, we were talking about Michael Walker. He's going to make one more rehab start this week, and then probably be in St. Louis on Saturday. You know, there's questions. Hey, he's only made three. That will be his third rehab start, and his first one didn't last very long. He did pretty well last night in his. But, you know, it really gets down to you don't need him to go five or six innings. You don't need him to go deep into games. If he can go four, you've got between all the arms and all the guys that can go multiple innings that are in that bullpen, you can cover that. And I think that's going to be – I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Mike Shield does this with so many young guys and with, you know, a lot of pressure probably on these games. You know, it very well may be that we're going to see a lot of starts that don't go but two or three, four innings. And, you know, at the first sign of any kind of bump, they're going to the, you know, because they got guys like Adam Wainwright, who, if he's healthy, can go two or three innings. You know, Carlos Martinez is out. I mean, most of the starting rotation for the Cardinals is going to be in the bullpen when it comes down to it, with Martinez and Weaver and Wainwright. I mean, it's just Walker and Michaelis that will probably be in the starting rotation. So, I mean, there's a lot of starters, you know, obviously Dakota Hudson and others that are down there. It's going to be interesting because I think the only people that are going to be kind of secure in and how they're used are Jordan Hicks and Bud Norris. The rest of them could be coming in any time from the second or third to the seventh inning and asked to get two outs, one out, seven outs. I mean, who knows what?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. It feels like we're almost at that point right now. I don't think they expect Flaherty, and his is about six is usually when they top him out, and Michaelis to go much past that. I think that everybody else they want to limit to two times through the lineup. And then figure out a pinch hitter situation there and then kind of go from there. And I think you have that flexibility. So I think you're onto something on that. I don't think they do expect a lot of the innings to be thrown and want to, backpile that at least through September with multiple inning guys in that bullpen.
Yeah. I don't know. And we've got to figure out this, you know, how they're going to get these guys on here. Again, they got to find two spots on the 40-man roster, to get Adam Wainwright and Dominic Leon on there. Even if they didn't want to bring Dominic Leon up, they're going to have to put him back on the 40-man roster. And there's not a whole lot of options. It doesn't feel like Darian Gonzalez seems to be a pretty easy one. You know, maybe Ryan Sheriff. They can't move Ryan Sheriff to the 60-day, I don't think, because he's on the minor league DL, but, you know, they could waive him or they could do something. But it really is interesting. I think the question is, and I'll put it to you, do they bring up Matt Bowman or do they cut Matt Bowman? I mean, and free up that spot. How do you think they go about it?
Man, I don't know. It's tough because you don't want to say there's just no room for a guy that's done what he's done, you know, his career, well, in his time that he's been here. But, you know, I don't know. It's a great question. And I just don't, there's just not a lot of space. And I really wonder where we're going to go. And just like with Gonzalez, if they thought highly of him enough, he'd have been up by now at some point because they've kept that highway hot all year between Memphis and St. Louis just filling those spots, and we'd never really heard his name much. So I don't know. I really don't know what to say about Bowman. I do think he'll be back with the ball club, especially with him being on the 40-man. I don't know about, I don't know about availability or how much he'll throw, and I don't know how bad that is for taking a spot for someone else, but I just can't see a release on that situation. You know, unless they want to gamble and see if he can make it through, or do they even worry about that? You know, because they're backloaded with arms, and I know you can say you never have enough, but you know they're banging their heads now about where they're going to fit guys in. So I'm curious to see how that part plays out.
Well, and here's the extra wrinkle: Matt Bowman right now is actually on the 7-day DL at Memphis. He hasn't pitched since August 12th.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know what the injury is. I don't think any of us are surprised that he is hurt, given his history. But, if it's not serious, maybe he's going to be, that's been, 2 weeks? So, maybe that's getting to where he can be ready to come back up. He might be able to get back into the pitching. And I figure even if he is healthy, he'll probably pitch for Memphis through their playoff run. But, if he's hurt, maybe you go ahead and do that because you need the spot. Because I really don't see Matt Bowman making it through this winter. This 40 man is, there's, Alex Reyes and Dexter Fowler and others that are on the 60 man that have to be moved onto the 40 man during the winter, so they have to free up spots for that. They have to free up spots for, any kind of moves they want to make. They have to free up spots for people that they need to protect from the Rule 5 draft. And I know there'll be people like Matt Adams and others that are not going to that are going to be free agents and leave. But there's not a whole lot of those kind of guys.
No.
In fact, now that I think about it, it may just be Matt Adams. That's the only one.
That was the only one that stuck out when we were talking about it beforehand.
Bud Norris is also a free agent that might not return. A couple others, but so they're going to need a 40 man spot soon. And whether it's right now, whether it's this winter, and it may just be just as easy to go ahead and let Bowman, thank him for his service and go on, and free up that spot, even if he is hurt now. And if nothing else, I don't know if the club looks at it this way, and I don't know that they would give it a whole lot of weight if Bowman was better than he is. But you got to figure that Matt Bowman, to some degree, is a symbol of the Mike Matheny era just because of how he was used. And if Matt Bowman, Matt Bowman's going to have that Matheny stigma on him. It'd be fascinating to see him come up and Mike Schilt use him in a way that made him very, very, effective. But, I don't know. I can't imagine that Matt Bowman is going to make it back to St. Louis and.
Especially not now after what you said about the injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't know. I'd have to really look. I just know he's on the disabled list, but doesn't really say why. So we'd have to find that out. But I can't imagine he's going to make that much difference. And I see what you're saying, and I'm with you that he did give a lot to this organization, and it would be kind of weird for them to just cut him in the middle, not really the middle of the season, but at this time of year. But that may be the way they go. I don't know. We'll find out. But there's some decisions to be made that should be interesting to watch and see. But those probably we'll have a little bit better idea of them next week. Before we wrap this for the end of this one, is there anything we should talk about that I haven't touched on? I know we didn't talk about Colton Wong and the fact that he thinks he should have the Gold Glove, and he's probably absolutely right. And, we saw good pitching out of Austin Gomber. We saw, we've just seen Harrison Bader be Harrison Bader. There's been a lot of different things this week, but is there anything else that stood out to you?
Nothing much. Not much more than just the, different brand of baseball that we've been watching. It's funny. It's just Schilt's almost magic right now, and that's one of those. It's almost anything he touches turns to gold. The O'Neill pinch hit the other night. It's fun right now, and it's almost one of those. You're just like, man, I've missed this so much in the past 3 years that it's really exciting. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the series this weekend. It's going to be a battle. Two hottest teams in the National League. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this Rocky series is going to be big because the Rockies have come in with some momentum. They're a team that feels like they should be winning And they add Matt Holliday into this mix. You know, the Cardinals add Matt Adams, the Rockies add Matt Holliday, so they're, everybody's grabbing back their old, the old hits. But that's, I mean, that's interesting. And I think that's very interesting for Matt Holliday. I mean, obviously he's got a lot of ties to the Rockies organization, came up through there and all that. But then for his, well, his second, he did play like yesterday against the Padres, who have their own issues with Matt Holliday. For them to really, his first full series to be against the Cardinals is kind of remarkable, and, kind of some mixed feelings for him as well. It's in a lot for us too. I mean, it's going to be very strange to see Matt Holliday in the other lineup.
Sure. Yeah, that's, and it's funny. They were playing some, bits off of his, interview last night with, or yesterday with McLaughlin on the Scoops. And it was really good. And he had mentioned that he tried to work something out with St. Louis in the offseason, they said. But what it boiled down to is essentially they had too many of the same player. And he pointed out Jose Martinez, that's going to be an outfielder slash first baseman. So they just didn't have room for him. But that was one of his first choices to get back. So yeah, I love Holliday. You know, he's a fellow Oklahoman. You know, it's tough to cheer against him. But yeah, I hope he does well after this weekend.
Yep. Yeah, or hits his home runs when nobody's on and the Cardinals are up by five. I mean, Holliday's obviously got a huge connection to St. Louis, and everybody, you know, we still remember, you know, the end of 16 when he came, you know, got to come back and had that big weekend, and everybody just, you know, showered him with love. And so it's not a bad thing to see him in Colorado. But you're right. I mean, there was, you know, you look at that. It's like, how do you put Matt Holliday into this? You know, at the beginning of the year, you have what you think is Fowler, Pham, and Ozuna, and Jose Martinez in that mix, and then you got to figure out what to do with Harrison Bader, and then you've got this Tyler O'Neill kid coming up, and you know, all of these things. How do you fit Matt Holliday into that mix? And I don't think you could. Obviously, you couldn't. I mean, the Cardinals didn't. And that's what kind of gets me. We're a little bit sidetracked here, but you know, there was this talk a couple weeks ago that Rick Ankiel says he wants to come back as a reliever next year, which is absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's great to think that Rick Ankiel is going to get back on the pitching mound, and I know he's not going to be what he was when he was, you know, what, 20 years ago when he was coming up, but then I started thinking about it, because everybody, of course, wants Rick Ankiel to pitch out of their bullpen, and I'm like, out of the Cardinals bullpen, and I'm like, where? I mean, how do you fit Rick Ankiel, who you don't know what you're going to get? I mean, obviously you have some idea at some point in time, but, you know, where do you fit him? How does he take, I mean, as much as everybody complained at the beginning of this year about Adam Wainwright taking a spot when he was getting beat around, are you then just going to create a spot for a Rick Ankiel? I mean, again, I love Rick Ankiel. I'm very excited about this. And if the Cardinals did not have pitching depth that runs like 3 miles deep, I would say get him on here in a heartbeat. But I don't know that I'm that, I don't know how you get him into a Cardinal uniform when you've got all these other arms that you can't figure out what to do with.
Yeah, and this is one of those situations to where I'd love for him to get a look in spring of next year, and I know that they're backloaded with arms and whatnot. To me, this has a long way to go before it comes to fruition. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm just like, you know, this is a guy that, you know, but I cheer for him too. But this is, that body's got to bounce back, and he's got to be effective. So it is a long way to go before I kind of start being concerned about where he's going to sign one way or the other. Rosenthal may be a different story, but, you know, Ankiel, I think that's a pretty big hill to climb.
Yeah, now Rosenthal I get, because Rosenthal's, you know, just a year away from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, if he's throwing it 97, 98, or whatever he could throw at, I can see how he could work into that mix. Again, even then, though, you start wondering, I mean, how does, of course, again, I mean, even with Rosenthal, I think it's better, there's an easier path for Rosenthal, but I don't know that there's a obvious path either. So, but, you know, again, you think that now, come October, and Moselock's traded three guys, and two guys come up hurt, and all that, and then all of a sudden you need this stuff. But, you know, right now it's like, you know, I'm excited about it. I hope it works, but I just don't know how it works in St. Louis. But I guess we'll see. So.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, like I say, Rockies Cardinals this week will be fun. The Cardinals then have an off day on Monday, and then they have three with the Pirates. Get a little bit of a, yeah, it feels like a little bit of a break. You go into Pittsburgh, and then you've got Cincinnati. Those last, you know, I guess the next week feels like you get through this week, and we've already, like I said, halfway through with those Dodgers wins. If you can win.
Yeah.
One to this, but especially if you win two out of three against the Rockies, then you get that off day, and you go, you have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati next up. Gives you a little bit of a breather before really getting into September.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's this week has turned out so much better and more positive than I figured it would. Not that I figured they'd play bad. I just thought it'd be tough to go out there and win either series. And you're definitely right. It feels like you can. Feels like you could, you've run a gauntlet at this point to get back to Bush.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Alan and I will be with you next week, and we'll talk about where the Cardinals sit and what's going to happen as these rosters expand and we turn the calendar into September. So, until then, I'm Daniel. That's Alan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. See ya.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!